This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's going on, everyone, and good morning. Today is Monday, December 2nd, and this is your Victory Daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And man, of all the Monday post-game daily pods we've done, I think morale might be the highest it's ever been all season. You go into Baltimore and you do that against that Ravens team that really needed it. That is an impressive win. This is the high point of the season so far. And I think what's so impressive is the highs keep getting higher, right? The win over Cincinnati. Man, no one saw that coming, really. What an impressive performance that was. The win over Washington. The win over the Rams. And then this win in Baltimore on a snowy night in front of, I mean, a ton of Eagles fans, but in front of a crowd of Baltimore fans that is one of the tougher places to play in the NFL. I don't think it's up there with a Kansas City game, but it's up there. Like, in terms of environments to go in and win, I think this is one of the tougher outdoor ones. Obviously, you know, domes are the toughest place to win. But outside of that, just what a day. I hope everybody is enjoying their Monday morning. You should all be proud because, man, that was a great performance from your team. And I really think it is a sign of things to come. So let's get into it, as we always do. What's on the schedule today? Nick Sirianni will speak to the media. You know, it's funny. I feel like for a month, the questions Nick had to answer were so like important and tense and ugly. And now I don't really think there's a ton of questions. I mean, obviously there'll be some injury stuff we get into, but it'll be interesting to see what Nick has to say after a chance to rewatch the game. And I'm sure that will be a very fun game for the coaching staff and players to rewatch. But outside of that, let's do the injury report. Two, you know, fairly significant players end up on the injury report. We're hoping that they're not significant injuries. Reed Blankenship leaves a game with a concussion. I think, as we saw this week with Darius Slay, the fact that he left the game with a concussion means he's probably not playing next week against the Panthers. Obviously, all concussions are different, and you hope that this is a minor one, that he's not dealing with any symptoms for a few days or anything like that. But just in general, getting through the concussion protocol, I think it's safe to say Reed Blankenship probably not playing next week against the Panthers. I thought Tristan McCollum stepped in. Without the benefit of rewatching the tape yet, I do think he looked like he played well. He was in position to make a interception, obviously dropped it, but impressive he was in that position to make it. So we'll see how Tristan McCollum plays next week, or maybe it's Sidney Brown if they give him a full week of snaps to get ready. But the potentially worrisome one is Dallas Goedert. So Dallas Goedert walks to the sideline with a knee injury. He's ruled out hopefully it's nothing serious. Hopefully he's out there next week against Carolina, or at the worst, if he's not, he's ready for the stretch playoff run, because, man, it's looking like it's going to be quite a playoff run. Also looking like there might only be three games, because with the win on Sunday, the Eagles move to 10-2. They are now right on the heels of the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions play on Thursday night against the Packers. If they lose that game and the Eagles beat the Panthers next Sunday, when the Lions take the field next Sunday at 4:30 to play the Bills, they could be playing for like staying in first place, or I think actually they'd be in second place at that point. So big game coming up over these next few days. And the Panthers, you know, they were frisky on Sunday. So a tougher game than maybe looked next Sunday. But the Eagles are putting themselves in great position to land that number one seed following their 24-19. But let's be honest, 24-12 win over the Baltimore Ravens. I know being in the locker room after the game, you could hear some defenders. They were mad they gave up that touchdown. And I don't know what they were doing on that Lamar play. It was kind of like they just gave up and let him run. You know, not a great snap from the defense, but overall, obviously a lot of really, really good snaps in that game from the defense. So let's get into what some players, Nick and Jalen, had to say after the game. So there was an exchange with Nick Sirianni and a reporter after the game where the reporter asked, like, do you guys think you match Baltimore's physicality? And I think the way Nick responded to that was really interesting. So here is Nick kind of talking about the physicality of the team.
Nick, how do you think you guys did the matching
Twitter? Pretty good.
And, you know, I know that's always
impressive. They had to match ours. They had to match ours. We know we're a physical team. We know they're a physical team. And that was our message going in, that, you know, they got to match our physicality. And that, and again, that's a very physical team. That's a well-coached team. That's a team with a lot of good players. But, yeah, I'd like the question rephrased a little differently.
I think players are going to love to hear that, right? Like, in that, look, Nick's not a former NFL player or anything like that. But I think that's a good, like, that's a bit of a player attitude out there. Like, when Nick's at the podium after a game and you can see the adrenaline like coursing through his body, he really does kind of get in that like player mode where it's not that different than a player who's standing up there like confident and, you know, having swagger and all that stuff. And I think it's a great attitude for the team to have. And I think it's true. Like, look, going to Baltimore and playing in the snow, I know it didn't like land on the field or whatever, but playing in a snow-ish game, cold, windy, you know, like that's what Baltimore does all the time. Baltimore is used to that. Baltimore is used to this type of game. And I think the Eagles are becoming that type of team. I said to Jack on the postgame pod after the game from the stadium that the Eagles, like a Nick Sirianni team, you know, you talk about like what's a Sean McVay team, a Kyle Shanahan team, a Mike McDaniels team, a Dan Campbell team. I think a Nick Sirianni team is a physical team. And that is what they've been. And that's what they were on Sunday. So I like that it seemed a message to the team throughout the week was that they're the ones that set the tone. They're the ones that's a physical team. Baltimore has to come in and match their physicality, not the other way around. And that's not really how we talked about it, even on the pod, right? And I think it's interesting that during Nick's time here, in 2022, remember that game against the Titans, also Derrick Henry, and Nick said after the game in Baltimore that he showed clips from that game to the team about kind of like how they handled Derrick Henry that day. But I think, remember in that game, it was, can they match the physicality of the Titans? Like a playoff tested, not a true contender, but like they've been, you know, they've played the Chiefs, the Patriots, like they were like a battle tested Titans team in a way. And they smacked them around that day. Remember AJ Brown, like got the GM fired, had a huge game. And it wasn't quite the beatdown tonight that it was back then. Obviously, they fell behind 9-0 in this game. Like, it was a pretty close game, as much as in the second half they wore them down. But that's the key. In the second half, they wore them down. And I think the message of the Eagles are the most physical team when they step on the field against anybody, I think that's the attitude the players should have. And I also think it's an attitude they've earned. Like, they win at the line of scrimmage. They win on the defensive line of scrimmage. They win on the offensive line of scrimmage. They push people. They don't step back. They push people. And I think that's such a different mentality to have when you're a running team. And I love that the first play of the game against Baltimore was a run right up the middle for 12 yards. It was saying to Baltimore, you're the number one run defense. We don't care. We're going to run it right at you. So I thought that attitude and that talking point from Nick was was really good. So the other thing Nick talked about, and we didn't get into this on the postgame pod much. We got into it briefly, but we didn't get into it much, was the special teams. And it's such a little thing, but it's such a big thing as well. So here's Nick talking about, and you could hear like the passion in his voice when he talks about it, talking about the special teams, Britton Covey, fielding punts, all those things. Here's Nick on the special teams.
The sequence of punting on fourth and two, pinning them back, forcing the three and out, going down and score. What did that do for the game, you feel?
I think it's just so critical of the things that we talk about all the time. We spend so much time on backed up, on plus 50 punting. We show it. We talk about it so much. We show all the ones from college in the week. We show all the ones from the NFL in the week because we know how critical it is. When if you can back a team up and you can get a stop, that usually equals points. And so it was a great, you know, Braden, you know, they didn't catch their balls and we caught ours. You know, that's a big deal. Like that's like high school football. That's something I learned from my brother so long ago of like, just catch the punt. Right. And our guys caught the punt. You know, Covey did a great job of coming up on some punts that were short and caught them. And that's something that's not going to be looked at, like, unless I say this, in the stat sheet. But Covey comes up and catches a punt that's kind of short and saves us one of them. I thought it was like 14 yards field position. And another one was like 26 yards field position. Y'all can go relook at that. And then they let some punts hit. Now, why did they let some punts hit? Because we got such good rush down the field by Sydney and Keeley, where they kind of had it was a little messy down there, so they let them hit and we got them pinned down inside the one. To me, that is such good detail of our special teams and the things that they were doing. Hats off, you know, we had a couple penalties on special teams and we're going to be sick about those. But Coach Clay did such a good job of getting those guys ready, and that's a huge deal because we got a stop, we got another stop. I think both of them led to points. So great job by Braden. He'll get the stat line that says, "Hey, pinned him inside the five once and at the one another time." But really good job by Sydney. Really good job by Keeley to go down there and force number 16 to not catch that punt and get that thing down in. Those are huge. Those are things that you get so excited about as a football coach of how important that is, you know, in the field position battle. That's not going to get looked at a lot, but I'm really excited. And we talked about that after the game.
So obviously, you know, we didn't touch on the ton of the postgame pod, but those two Brandon Mann punts were ridiculous. Like pinning them within the five was huge early in the game when they're down 9-0. They pin them at like the two or whatever it was. The Ravens end up punting the ball. The Eagles get the ball at about the 50 and they cut it to a one score game. And then late in the game, when the Ravens are trying to make a comeback, they pin them deep and that also results in a punt. And obviously the defense played outstanding and that's a big part of pinning them deep. The special teams can pin them deep, but if the defense can hold them, it really doesn't matter where they start with the ball. But the defense doing it, and then also the special teams pinning them there, that's absolutely huge. And you know, if you think about 2022 when they were last in the Super Bowl, their special teams were not a positive there, right? Like you remember obviously the Kadarius Toney return in that game, but they just didn't get a lot of positive special teams plays that season. They got a bunch tonight, and the Britton Covey fielding the punt thing. So Britton Covey leaves with a neck injury. We'll see if he plays next week, but like, to go full circle, so think about back to the Chicago game, right? And the Chicago game on Thanksgiving, where everyone's making fun of Matt Eberflus, he gets fired, he absolutely blows it, he burns 30 seconds off the clock. Like, that's bad clock management and bad coaching by him. But if you remember at the beginning of that drive, the punt returner doesn't field the ball, and so Chicago gets pinned deep. I would guarantee you, well, bet my life, that on the teaching tape this week from Nick was an emphasis on that punter not fielding the punt. And for Britton Covey to field the punts that the Ravens punt returners did not, that is a little thing. And when you talk about like coaching and head coaching and what makes a team great, like credit to Michael Clay for probably hammering it home to Britton Covey how important it is to field the punt and not let it bounce back. Credit to Nick Sirianni for making sure. I mean, this is how you win 80% of one possession games. And they won another one today. If there's any positive to that touchdown, it's that it goes down in another one possession win. But those little things like that, like the Bears don't tie that game on Thursday against the Lions on Thanksgiving because they have to start like 15 yards deeper than they would have otherwise. And that's huge, obviously, when you're just trying to get a field goal. The Eagles in a game where they're trying to get back didn't get pinned back because Britton Covey held it. And it's those little things that end up being huge when you're trying to get the number one seed, when you're trying to make the playoffs, when you're trying to win the Super Bowl. Every yard matters. And in a game where it was really physical, both teams were playing well, I thought, for the majority of the game, or at least the first half. The fact that they were able to pin Baltimore deep when they themselves weren't getting pinned deep was really, really big. So I thought it was an interesting point by Sirianni, and I'm sure that that is something he will talk about in the team meeting. The final thing from Nick is the final drive of the game. So I'll let Nick talk about it, and then we got into it a little bit on the postgame pod, but wanted to dive into it a little bit deeper. So here's Nick on the final 6-11 of the game.
You guys got the ball back with about 6-11 to play. By the time the Ravens got back, the game was essentially over. What's it say about your team to be able to kill that much off?
Tough, physical, you know, and that's against a tough, physical football team. You know, we were able to convert on a 4th-and-1. We were able to convert on a 3rd-and-7, get them to use all their timeouts. You know, and that was our thought in that process. We were going to run there because if we were in – at first we weren't in field goal range. We got ourselves into field goal range when we got that first down or we got that first good run by Saquon. So great job by the offensive line because in those scenarios – it's going to be really muddy because they're going to load the box. They're going to try to do different things. And so good job by Kellen calling it there of the runs that he called in those scenarios. And good job by our guys executing. And then Saquon hits a crease and it gets us the first down. We get to a 4th-and-1. You know, what happened on the 3rd-and-1 gave me a lot of confidence to go for it on the 4th-and-1. And so good job there of those guys getting that push off the ball and that first quarterback sneak. Now that was a full yard. I thought we kind of got it there. They didn't give us a spot and it's hard to see. And it gave me the confidence to go for it on the 2nd one, you know, as I was debating it, cause that is a debatable one. Cause you debate that and say, man, we go up 12 points. That's a big deal. Now they can't drive, you know, get a field goal, get an onside kick or get a stop and now be able to beat you on the last one. So the guys that gave me a lot of confidence is Chauncey's like, just trust us. We'll stop them if we don't get it. And then Devontae's like, I love when Devontae tells me to just go for it. We're going to get that quarterback sneak. Devontae has nothing to do with us getting the quarterback sneak, even when he's on the field. But he's like, coach, go for it. And you know what? That I love that about our team, that they have confidence in each other. I have confidence in them. They have confidence in each other. And that's not, again, that's not blind faith. That's faith based off of, you know, results of what we've done. And so I was close to going for it. I was hesitant a little bit to go up 12. And then Devontae and Chauncey kind of nudged me over the edge right there to go for it. Good job by our offensive line. And Lane looks over at me, signals first down, gives me a thumbs up. Man, we got a tough offensive line. We got a tough defensive line. We got a tough football team.
You know, it reminds me so much of 2022 and really the 2017 team. I mean, 2017, think about it. In the Super Bowl, the Patriots are red hot. The Eagles get the ball. I think it was with 8 minutes to go there in Minnesota. And they burn almost all the time off the clock or, you know, 5 or 6 minutes or whatever it was. 2022, that team would get the ball with 4, 5, 6 minutes to go. And that was it. It was ball game. They would kill the clock. That is what this team has become. And to kill, I mean, I know the Ravens end up getting the ball back, but at 6-11, the Eagles get the ball. And by the time the Ravens got the ball, the game was over. They had no chance of winning the game. The final minute and whatever it was when they had it was garbage time, right? And obviously the defense doesn't want to give the touchdown up there. You end up having the onside kick, which is a little worrisome. But ultimately, what this team can do at the end of games is how they won the Super Bowl in 2017 and how they almost won it in 2022. And Nick brings up in there, like, going for it on 4th down, right? I think sometimes because of the tush push, we view Nick's decisions to go for it on 4th and 1 as less risky than they are. And I get it. Like, it's a high percentage play. It definitely takes less gumption, to use a word there I don't use often, less gumption to go for it on 4th and 1 when you have a play that's successful 80% of the time than when you don't. But he's still going for it on 4th down. And late in that game where they're up 9, he kicks a field goal. He could have kicked field goal to go up 12. Now, I wouldn't have done it. I would have gone for it on 4th and 1, and he did. But, you know, like, that's huge. And then the 3rd and 7 throw by Jalen to Goddard, like, that's a massive throw on 3rd down in a big-time spot. So, yeah, I mean, I just think that final drive really showed what they're capable of doing in terms of breaking a team's will. Like, they were the more physical team for the first 54 minutes of that game. And because of that, in the final 6 minutes, they were able to kill clock, and Baltimore wasn't able to get a stop. Like, Baltimore is used to beating teams up, and the Eagles refused to be beat up. They were the bullies on Sunday, and that's what they've become. That's what they've become this season. Their personality is an aggressive, running, physical team. And we'll get into Jalen on the other side on what that means for him, but that doesn't mean he didn't make big plays. He had the third down play. But I just thought also the story that Nick told about Chauncey going up to him and saying, hey, we'll get a stop if you go for it. And Devontae saying, oh, you got to go for it. And there's this clip that came out this past week of Zach Bond and Nakobe talking in the Rams game. And he's saying, you know, Zach Bond's like, oh, he's, you know, he goes for it on fourth downs on offense because he trusts us, right? Excuse me. He goes for it. Coughing is the new yawning, as people say. He goes for it on fourth down because he trusts us. And then Nakobe goes up to him and is like, oh, what'd he say? And that's what Nick and Zach goes, that's what Nick told us. And look, I'm sure there are times that, like, the defensive coaches are probably like, maybe don't be so aggressive and put us in tough spots. But I think the players really like that Nick goes for it. And it's noteworthy because it was obviously a big talking point early in the year, going for it a ton against the Saints, going for it a ton against the Jaguars. But the players really like when he does it. And on that drive where they're trying to end the game against Baltimore and secure a crucial win, he bet on his players being more physical than the Ravens. And it worked. And that is, like, what this team has become. They bet on themselves to make big plays and to beat the other team. They become a physical bully that knows they can get plays when they need it. Third down, they believe they'll get it. Fourth down, they believe they'll get it. Red zone, they're going to push to go into the end zone. Like, 6 minutes, you're not getting the ball back. That's what they've become. And to do that against the team that used to be that, or at least used to be the poster for that, it's massive. Like, Derrick Henry was a non-factor tonight. He had a few nice runs, like, what, non-factor. That hit from Cooper DeJean on Derrick Henry ended the game. That was it. Once he hit Derrick Henry like that on 3rd and 11 and the Eagles got the ball back, the game was over. And that is what the Eagles are. Like, we talk about the Lions so much as that being that type of team. That's what the Eagles are. The difference is, I think the Eagles have better skill players. And we could debate that. It's really close. The Lions have great skill players. But the Eagles have become the bully of the NFC. And it's a winning formula, and I really think they're going to go quite a long way with that formula. So, on the other side, I want to talk about Jalen Hurts, because we didn't talk about him a ton in that game, and I thought there was some interactions, not between Nick and Jalen specifically, but they said things about each other that I thought were cool and telling of where they're at. So, on the other side, we're going to talk about Nick, Jalen, their relationship, and how... It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jalen played. So after the game, Nick Sirianni with, you know, as I said, the adrenaline coursing through his body, like just sitting up there, loving life, was asked about Jalen. And his answer was, you know, I don't think it's a curse word, but had a curse word in it. And he really kind of went to bat for Jalen. So here's Nick's answer on Jalen. And I guess it's earmuffs, but I don't personally think so. But it's your kid, so you make the decision. Earmuffs on this answer. Nick talking about Jalen.
You know, just can't say enough good things about, you know, how Jalen managed that 4 minute. And you know, you'll say, well, game manager. That's all. Like, Jalen played an awesome game, and his stats are going to say, right, we didn't throw it a lot. We were 11-19. He had 118 yards, but that guy made runs when he needed to make runs. He made good checks. He managed the game in a 4 minute to take the clock down to use as much time as he can. man, you know, Jalen, you know, we haven't thrown it a lot in the fourth quarter in the past month and a half of the season. So, you know, Jalen's stats aren't going to say that. But Jalen deserves, you know, Saquon deserves to be in an MVP consideration. Jalen Hurts deserves to be in an MVP consideration because of how clean of football he's playing. Like, look at his quarterback rating throughout the last month and a half of the season. Like, Jalen Hurts is a winner. Playing great football. He may not have the stats, but because his team's winning in the fourth quarter, he doesn't get to make those stats, but he's just done such a good job. AJ could be, you know, as a guy, we have multiple guys that could be in consideration of that. Our offensive line, I wish they could give an offensive line MVP because our offensive line could be on that. And so I just can't say enough good things about how Jalen played in that football game. Even though the stat sheet's not going to reflect that because, oh, Jalen was 11-19. Yeah, he was freaking on. He was on how he managed the game on fourth quarter. He was on about the runs that he made. He was on in the scrambles he made. He was on in the checks that he's made. He was on the third down conversions that we hit and the passes that he hit. This dude's a winner. And he continues to play good football through our stretch.
So Nick has definitely made a point of going to bat for Jalen. And I think after this game is the perfect time to do it. So Jalen didn't have a ton of flash plays in this game, right? He didn't throw the ball a ton. I think he only threw it 19 times. He had 118 yards. And I don't think it is kind of an example because at the end of it, the final 6 minutes, they're just trying to kill clock. So like half the fourth quarter, Jalen has to throw it. Lamar has to throw it because his team's losing. And Lamar probably made more wow plays than Jalen. And Lamar probably has a better arm than Jalen. And Lamar can do things Jalen can't. But to Nick's point, Jalen beat Lamar. Jalen's beat Patrick Mahomes. Jalen's beat Josh Allen. Jalen has beaten Joe Burrow. He's beaten them all pretty much, right? And I thought Nick sticking up for him like that will go a long way for their relationship with Jalen. So I asked Jalen about it and what he thought about it. And here is what Jalen had to say about Nick Sirianni saying you should be the MVP discussion and, you know, basically saying that the haters don't know what they're talking about. So here's what Jalen had to say about that.
What ways do you think Nick has evolved and grown through this season?
Yeah, I just think, his approach, his patience in certain moments, and I think his ability to dive in and kind of get the real detail of things so he can better prepare us to do what we do. I know he's very intentional with the time he spends and the situations, and he's had some moments where, you know, he wish he could have done something else, and then he has some moments where we got to help him out as well, and then we got moments where we need to learn from them all, and so it's all collaborative.
He was just in here, and he was saying that you belong in the MVP discussion, and it's that people try to discredit you because of stats. What's it mean for you that he kind of, you know, defends you like that?
I mean, I appreciate his intentions with it, and, you know, I have a lot of love for coaching that. My focus is winning. You know, my focus is winning and doing what I need to do to help this team win.
I know that, you know, that quote right there, I have love for coach, right? Think about where we were 3 months ago, right? Or even think about where we were prior to the bye, where I asked Jalen, hey, do you and Nick feel like, what do you think the messaging has to be between you two? Do you guys talk about it? And he said, we had our moments. Think about since then what's happened. They spent all bye week together, or a lot of it, talking about how they wanted to lead the team together. They've gone on a, 8-game winning streak. Jalen talks about Nick in a much different light than he did before. Jalen just said he has love for coach. Like, that's not something I think you've ever really heard Jalen say, or at least not during the whole collapse and when he was kind of peppered with questions trying to get people to say that. Nick going to extreme bat for Jalen, which he has done before, but I think it's far more intentional now, right? It's clear that they're in a very good place. And we can talk about, like, a bunch of things with them. And let me play, actually, a Jalen clip for you quickly before we get into, like, all my thoughts on it. But Jalen was asked about being a game manager and kind of what he thinks of it. And here's what Jalen had to say.
When you hear the term game manager, do you take it as I'm not even saying it for you, but just in general, do you think it's a negative connotation, or is that it's usually said about somebody who's on a winning team and playing good quarterback? What do you think about that term?
I just think it's a term. I think everyone can be called that, you know, depending on the day. But the reality is everyone that plays the position is asked to manage the game to an extent. And so I think a quarterback's job is to go out there and do what they're asked to do, execute play clean football and execute the plays that are called.
So I like Jalen will never say it. He'll probably hint at it. He's at moments kind of hinted at it. But I know it bothers Jalen that he gets like his accomplishments gets diminished because he's not viewed as like one of the top guys, right? And that he's not like he doesn't get discussed with the Mahomes. He doesn't get discussed with the Josh Allens. And look, I get why. Like he doesn't have the pure physical ability they do. But Jalen has the resume that they do. Like he has the resume Josh Allen has. He has a better resume in some ways than Josh Allen has. Doesn't have the resume Mahomes does, obviously. But he's close to having the resume Lamar has. He's close to having the resume Joe Burrow has. Like his resume is right there with all of them. And one thing you'll see Jalen point out a lot is the wins. And that's Jalen's trump card. Like you can talk about his arm strength. You can talk about all those things. The dude wins all the time. Like I love to tweet after the games that Nick's 44-19 as a head coach. And I mean, that's basically Jalen's record too. Right. So Jalen has won an extreme amount in the NFL and Sunday was a good example. Like he didn't make the dumb play. He didn't make the turnover worthy play. He took care of the ball. And because of that, the Eagles were able to continue controlling the clock. And when he had to make that play to Dallas Goedert, he absolutely made that throw. And that's what they're going to need from Jalen. Like time and time again, we put ourselves in this situation of, well, what if Jalen has to throw for 400 yards and like, let's see if that happens. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And I think it's more important to point out that with Jalen, like in Baltimore is a perfect example. He didn't need to throw for 400 yards, but they did need him to make big plays. And when he had to make them, he made them. And consistently in Jalen's career, he's done that. And that's why he wins all the games. That's why he's able to go up against the best quarterbacks in the league and leave victorious most of the time. Like we'll see if that results in a Super Bowl, but ultimately Jalen consistently wins. And I think Baltimore, the win on Baltimore is a really good example of that. The other interesting thing that happened after the game at Jalen's press conference was at one point he said something about how Nick has like grown through the year, or I'm paraphrasing slightly, but how, you know, he's evolved throughout the year. So I asked Jalen, like, what are some examples of that? Or what did he mean? And here's what Jalen had to say.
What does the 18 winning streak say about what Nick has done to get this team playing this way? I just think he's, you know, he's been growing. You know, I think that's the biggest thing. And everyone has to be able to evolve as the season goes on. And I think he's been able to evolve and betterment.
So I do think in there is like perhaps like some subtle criticism of like he had to change the way some of the things he was doing it. And I do still think sometimes, you know, like Jalen's just not, he's just not great at like doing what Nick does. Nick's really good at like talking about a player and making it sound emotional and like really hyping him up. That's Nick's strength. Jalen, that's just not really his strength, which is fine. Like that's not everybody's strength, right? But what you heard at the post-game press conference between Nick and Jalen was that their relationship's in a really good spot. And that shouldn't be taken for granted. I was walking home from the stadium after the game, and I was thinking about, you know, how much better they are for having gone through the collapse. And I'm going to try to make an analogy off the cuff, and maybe it doesn't make sense. But it's kind of like in a relationship where, you know, like you first start to date, everything's all good, it's all great, like honeymoon phase. Maybe you have that fight, right? Like you get in a fight and it's ugly, it's tense, like, and maybe it lingers, but then maybe you're like better for it, right? Like even whether it's a friend, a relationship, whatever it is, a boss, a coworker. I think sometimes like to truly grow like ultra, ultra close, you like have to go through something together to like truly like be that close. Me and Kristen, right? Like I wasn't great with money and it was a thing and we talked about it. It was ugly, but like we were better for it, right? And yes, of course, there were times where it was like tense and all that, but like we're better because we did it, right? I think with Nick and Jalen, the tension that was there feels like it's gone now. Doesn't mean they'll never get in a fight again. Doesn't mean like, but what it does mean is they're over the past. And I think that if you look at the collapse from last year and the whole offseason and the ugliness, do they get along? Do they not? Like the great Tim McManus article where he talked about, like, you'll probably never see him at dinner, right? I think they're better for that. And like, we shouldn't look past what happened today after the game. Nick stamped the podium, whatever the expression is. I wish James was here to correct me. Like, for Jalen to win MVP. Jalen says he has love for coach. Jalen talks about how much Nick's improved and how he's helping the team. Like, these things weren't happening 8-9 weeks ago. And if for the team, we've always said this, for the team to reach where they need to reach, they have to be on the same page. And they have to be more than on the same page. They have to, like, be able to get along and coexist and work through things. And they're better at it now because of it. And they're good at it. It seems like they're in a good place. So a special win in Baltimore. It really feels like this team has evolved to something really special. And man, I can't wait to go on this ride with you guys. So I did want to end the pod by saying, obviously, this was our Go Birds trip to Baltimore. And James was at the game with people. I was here in the post-game pod. He hopped in from the stadium. But I wanted to say thank you so much to everybody that came. And I know I'm speaking for James when I say this. Like, the Go Birds trip was unbelievable last year in Dallas. It was unbelievable this time in Baltimore. And James would literally kill me because I'm bad with names. But, like, shout out to everybody that came, right? Like, Justin from Richmond, Tom from Dover stopped by, Richie from the Northeast, Darren from South Philly. You know, we met an awesome dad and daughter couple, and it was cool to see them hanging out and doing this together. And, like, the dad said he used to work in Saudi Arabia, and now he's, like, wearing a Dawkins jersey and watching the Flyers together with us. And, you know, just so many people, Kyle and his awesome wife that live in Baltimore, and talking about Bravo with them. Man, I'm going to be so mad I forgot some people. The couple that are going to be at Chickies on Monday, and we met them last year in Los Angeles. Just so many people that that came to hang out with us. And, you know, as fun as this job is for a lot of reasons, like, having weekends like this is really, really cool. Bobby, obviously, from the Brazil trip. Like, I'm going to be so mad at myself for forgetting some. But if you were here this weekend in Baltimore, you came up, you hung, like, we got to hang out. It was really, really cool. So it was an awesome game in Baltimore, awesome win. But everyone that made the trip and hung out with us, it made it 10 times better. So I love you all. I know James loves you all. Can't wait for next year Go Birds trip. I'm sure me and James will recap it on the pod this week. But thank you guys for everything. And enjoy Monday, man, because it's a victory Monday and you guys deserve this victory. So as we always say to end the pod, he is Elliot. I am James. Talk to you guys later.